Thank you, Dr. Scar. As he said, my name is Christy Edwards, and today I will be presenting on looking at the evaluation of the interaction between chelated iron source and placement on phosphorus availability. Again, my name is Christy Edwards, and I'm from Kansas State University, and I'd also like to thank my major professor, Dr. Ruiz Diaz. You might ask, why would we study chelating agents? And well, for starters, plants have done a pretty good job themselves on utilizing chelating agents. And a good example are Strategy 2 plants, which are known as corn and wheat, and they produce phytosiderophores, which chelate metal micronutrients and bring them back into the plants. Now, in agriculture, we mainly study with chelating agents through metal micronutrient applications, which can be foliar or seed treatments. So to give you an idea of the structure of how chelating agents work, chelate is a term meaning claw. And as you can see from the pictures here, EDTA and HEDTA both are fairly similar. Both of them have six binding sites in which they completely surround the iron metal in these diagrams. And that keeps chelates water soluble. And so that's mainly the reason why we apply them in agriculture, is because they do remain water soluble in soil solution. So some background information, some previous work that was done looked at the water soluble phosphorus availability after the application of chelating agents. And as you can see in this diagram, over time, water soluble P concentrations were measured. This diagram shows that the bottom line is phosphorus only, and then the next line is EDTA, and the top line, HEDTA. So both chelating agents were applied with the phosphorus fertilizer, and as you can see by the letters depicted here, they are significantly different from the phosphorus treatment. And we attribute this to, if you recall back to the structure, we're assuming that the chelating agent in soil is reacting with the iron that's already in the soil to make phosphorus available. So the objectives of the study that I'm going to talk about today was to evaluate two fertilizer placements with three commercial chelated iron sources and phosphorus on soybean. And we are going to talk about this through early plant uptake and therefore the tissue concentrations at specific growth stages. The design structure was an RCBD, or randomized complete block design, with four blocks. And the treatment structure was a 2x4 factorial with two placements by four fertilizer sources. The two placements, as you can see, were in furrow and surface band, both applied at planting. As you can see in the picture, this is a four-row planter unit in which the fertilizers were applied in furrow, and the surface band was applied using a backpack sprayer, spraying the solution on the row as we could see it being planted. And you may notice that the in furrow and the surface band amounts that were applied are different. The in-furrow treatment was 34 liters per hectare, or roughly 3 gallons per acre, and the surface band was 68 liters per hectare, or roughly 6 gallons. The fertilizer sources were phosphorus only at 8 kilograms per hectare, or around 20 pounds of P2O5 per acre, and the three chelated iron sources were EDTA, HEDTA, and glucoheptanate. Both EDTA and HEDTA are acids. The glucoheptanate product, however, is a sugar. Some initial soil results. The study was conducted at two locations, Rossville and Scandia, both located in Kansas. And what I want you to take from this is the pHs were in agronomic range. The phosphorus was low. The phosphorus concentrations were low enough to where we expected to see phosphorus responses to fertilizer application. Potassium levels were high enough that we didn't expect to see any additional response to potassium fertilization, and the organic matter concentrations were pretty consistent with averages in Kansas. So looking at the ANOVA table of all the variables that we collected population at R1 to R3 roughly, and as you can see, there was a significant response to fertilizer source and placement. And then once we looked at V4 whole plant samples, there was no significance in the biomass, but in the P concentration and P uptake, we saw a significant response to fertilizer to placement. Later on in the growing season, when R3 trifoliates were analyzed just for phosphorus concentration, there was a significant in fertilizer source. All of these values were tested at alpha level of 0.1. So looking at the population, as you recall from the previous table, there was a significant effect of fertilizer and placement. And so this graph is split up into two parts. In the top part, is the across placement. And so you can see by A and B, their in-furrow was significantly, germination was significantly decreased by fertilizer application in furrow. These ratios were calculated from the treatment minus the control divided by the control times 1,000. So in general, we see a general trend that fertilizer placed in furrow, and then in the bottom half, all three of the chelating agents, there was a general trend for decreases in germination. The bottom part of the graph looking at phosphorus only was around about the same values as the control, and so was the glucoheptanate product. However, EDTA and HEDTA both significantly decreased germination in soybean. Looking at the V4 whole plant phosphorus concentrations, there was only a significance at placement. So as you can see here, the two placements on the x-axis and phosphorus concentration of a percentage on the y. And as you can see, the in-furrow application was significantly greater than the surface band application. Again, this was tested at a 0.1 alpha level. Now, when looking at the uptake at the V4 level, there was a significance at the placement for the placement factor, again, with the placements on the x-axis of in-furrow versus surface band and phosphorus uptake in grams per plant on the y. And as you can see, depicted by the letters, in-furrow was significantly greater in P uptake than the surface band. Now later on in the growing season, we wanted to sample again to see if we could see differences from the early growth. And as you can see here, fertilizer source had a significant effect. And all the fertilizers are labeled down at the bottom, with phosphorus, EDTA, and the glucoheptanate product not being significantly different from one another, and the HEDTA significantly having lower phosphorus concentrations as a percentage. These were the values that were given to us straight from the tissue testing lab. So some conclusions based on the laboratory study that showed increased phosphorus, water-soluble phosphorus, we wanted to take that information to a field level. Again, the incubation was a very controlled environment, so kind of a worst-case scenario, uniformly mixing the chelating agents in soil and having them react and see how they affect phosphorus. And so based on those results, this field study was conducted. Populations were significantly affected by phosphorus fertilizer placement and source, where in-furrow applications decreased germination in EDTA and HEDTA, but the glucoheptanate product did not affect germination. At the whole plant V4 level, concentrations of phosphorus and P uptake were affected both by placement, where in-furrow placement significantly increased P uptake. And we attribute that to phosphorus being readily available for early growth and uptake. later on in the growing season, at an R3 growth stage, trifoliate pea concentrations were significantly affected by fertilizer source. EDTA and glucoheptanate both had the same concentrations as phosphorus only, and EDTA significantly lowered pea concentrations. So some practical applications of this research. Starter fertilizers may or may not increase nutrient uptake, but we want to know if those translate into yields and maybe grain quality, which is another aspect of this study that we're going to be looking at as soon as we get yield data analyzed. And chelating sources may not have increased pea uptake here, but they have potential effects on other nutrients such as iron and manganese, especially in soybeans where we see a chelated iron source antagonistic effect on manganese uptake. I would like to thank the donors for the research and my fellow grad students. Are there any questions? Yes. Well, the phosphorus source that we used was an 0.18-18, so by itself, we didn't expect to see any germination issues there, but the addition of the chelating agents would have caused some salt effect. EDTA and HEDTA are both salts, but the glucoheptanate product's not. And so since the glucoheptanate and phosphorus were not different from one another, I would attribute it to the EDTA and the HEDTA being like a salt effect and decreasing germination. But I'm not sure exactly why, because we use HEDTA as a seed treatment, but it's not in the same concentrations as we did apply them in furrow here. Yes? Okay.
I was surprised that the ligands, EDTA and HEDTA, would reduce population even when surface dribbled. That seems to be what the lack of interaction suggests. Is that correct?
His point was that there were no differences between fertilizer sources when applied as a surface band. And even if you go back to my methods, even applied at twice the rate of the in-furrow applications, there still was no negative effect on germination. So
that actually was what I was saying was that there was a reduced germination with the EDTA and HEDTA, and that was, it appeared to me that data was an average of the of the surface band and the in-furrow. And so what you're saying, I think, is now is that there wasn't any effect surface band and only in-furrow.
Well, I did misspeak. Those numbers were averaged across placement. So yes, it would have been an average over placement, and averaged. Yes.
But there was some effect, or was not an effect?
There was not an effect. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have time for one more question.